Small.
کوچک.
Smaller.
کوچکتر.
Smallest.
کوچکترین.
Six plus to Persia.
So you've been listening this morning to the music of Rachmaninoff. It's Sonata No. 2 in B-flat minor, the original version, the first part of it, played by Soheil Nasiri, who is an Iranian musician coming to play at the Royal Festival Hall, South Bank Centre, on Thursday 20th of March. So that's this Thursday. We have got two tickets today to give away. So if you want to ring the studio, you can win a pair of tickets. All you have to do is tell me. Let me think of a good question. You have to give me a good question. There you go. You have to ring the studio, give me a good question, and you can have two tickets to go and hear Soheil Nasiri at the South Bank Centre on Thursday, 20th of March, starting at 7:45 p.m. in the evening. The phone number here is 020-740-71210. I'm now going to play an interview with Soheil that we did over the weekend, and then we're also going to have today the premiere, the UK premiere of his piece, which he has the privilege of being the only person to ever perform live. It's a piece by Khosru Sorabji, Sonata No. 0. It was written in 1917, and he'll be playing that for the first time ever in the UK on Thursday. So that'll be in the show. And we've also got Babak Imamyan, who's on his way somewhere in the underground myriad of tunnels. But first up, here's the interview with Soheil. I'm talking to Sahail Nasseri, a renowned pianist, very young, born in America but of Iranian origin. How are you doing?
I'm great. Very excited about Thursday, my London debut.
Didn't you debut in Sicily?
My European debut was in Sicily, that's true.
That sounds slightly dodgy. Have you got contacts, connections, family?
I have a few mafia stories, but in 5 minutes I don't have time to tell them. Thursday, my London debut. Thursday the 20th.
Isn't that just before Persian New Year?
Yeah, it is. That's rather unfortunate.
Why? What would you be doing otherwise?
Well, I think a lot of the Iranians are going to be having parties and would rather be partying than sitting in a classical music recital.
But you're not just trying to appeal to Iranians, are you? Because you've got a very broad audience.
Yeah, mostly classical music lovers.
Yes, I read also that you had an inner city program in New York, is it, where you were bringing music education to schools where they would never normally hear classical music?
That's right. In New York and Washington, D.C., and the public schools, which generally have a dropout rate of 50%, they're economically disadvantaged, and classical music, high art and culture is not generally one of their top priorities. Staying out of jail is more their top priority.
Yeah, and the music apparently really resonated.
But we have a lot of fun together because I like to play. I like to collaborate with the kids during these programs. I ask them to join me on stage and rap.
How does that go down?
It's a raucous success.
That's great. It's wonderful that you're so flexible, and it's probably partly due to the fact that you're so young.
I think so. I'd have to be a caveman, or in the sense of having lived in a cave my entire life, to not have any connection to popular culture.
Now, I've been reading about your career, and I think there is someone really wise giving you advice. Would that be your parents, or is there a manager?
Wise people giving me advice? That's usually my girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't listen to anything my parents say. That's the my first rule.
There were certain things like you were leaving the last five, because you've got this ambition, haven't you? Before 2020, you're going to play all of Beethoven's piano works.
That's right.
And you decided to leave the last, was it five sonatas for when you were more mature?
I actually played one of the last five sonatas just to see how that would go this season,
yeah.
Beginning of the season. But I want to leave the mature Beethoven work for when I'm a little more mature. I have too much respect for Beethoven, and I'm very intimidated by, any work by Beethoven is intimidating because it's so difficult, both musically and technically, and he's very profound in a way that I can't really understand, having not had his sort of miserable life in the sense that he was sick.
And going deaf.
Had a number of problems, at least 3-4 deaths in his immediate family before he was 25. So fortunately, I'm not able to relate to him on that level.
So you think that his life experience had made him an extremely deep person?
Absolutely.
Have you ever looked at the paintings of Turner?
I can't say that I have.
He was going blind towards his later life, and I find that his paintings and Beethoven's music go very well together.
No kidding. No. T-U-R-N-E-R?
That's right. You can see him in London at the National Gallery for free.
Oh, well, I'll do that on Friday.
Okay, cool. So people should contact the South Bank if they want to hear you on the 20th.
Tickets can be purchased at 0871-663-2500. That's for the South Bank Center at southbankcenter.co.uk.
Are you playing in one of the halls, one of the rooms, the Purcell Room maybe?
Yeah, the Purcell Room at Queen Elizabeth Hall.
Oh yeah, we know that one. So just before you go, I'd like to ask you a bit about the British Persian composer. You've been the first person to play this piece, is that right? Khosru Sorabji.
Did I say it right? Khosru Sorabji, he's actually born in Essex. And his father was from Bombay. He was a Parsi.
Mm.
So Parsis were Indians that originally came from Persia. So to call him a Persian, I would call him more of a, Parsi Indian.
Yeah.
English composer.
Like Freddie Mercury.
And, I'm very, very excited about this because I've noticed how many people have gotten enthused about the idea, and especially in England, where the Sorabji Archive in Bath is helping to promote this concert.
Are you playing Sorabji on the 20th?
Yeah.
It'll
be the UK premiere of this sonata by Sorabji that was written in 1917. It's never been performed by anyone other than myself.
Sonata number zero.
That's right. Sonata number zero. It's called Sonata number zero because it was discovered after they had already published sonatas number 1 through 5, and then they found this other sonata.
And apparently it's got some 12-note chords in it, and you're squeezing your thumbs in between your fingers and everything.
Even more than 12. I've counted 17.
It would be nice to see a kind of screenshot, like, you know, when when they have a live camera pointing down and there's a screen behind the piano showing a live film of what they're seeing. So to watch your fingers, basically.
Yeah, this would be the piece to do that in, I think.
But listen, I really wish you all the best with your career, and I hope you come back to England.
Oh, I hope to be back regularly at the South Bank Centre, if it goes well.
It was a very prestigious place to play.
That's what they tell me.
One last question before you go. What other Persian composer do you enjoy or have you played?
Well, there's a few composers. Saad Ranjbaran, who I've premiered some of his works in New York. And there's a young Gitti Razaz, as a young girl. She's like 21 in New York, studying at the Juilliard School. And always have my eye out for people of my origin. Usually I don't necessarily seek out composers because of their national origins. Generally, I'd like to play pieces that I really want to play.
What about Persian folk music?
A lot of that does not work very well when translated to the piano.
Oh.
This is vocal. It's vocally oriented, and that sounds kind of weird on a piano. It really should be sung.
We really enjoy weird music at Resonance. So if you want to experiment, this would be the place to send it into.
Okay.
Okay. We wish you all the best.
Pleasure was all mine. Eid Shema Mubarak.
Oh, yes. Oh, Eid Shema Mubarak. Bye-bye, Sohail.
Bye, Fari.
Bye-bye. Okay, so that was part of my interview with Sohail Nasri, who's going to play on Thursday at South Bank Centre, his piano recital. And now, as promised, Babak Emamian from VIBA, British Iranian Business Association. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
So you were late this morning because of the tubes, as usual.
As usual, I beg your pardon.
That's okay. You know, it's fine to be late if you're Iranian, isn't it?
It's part of our culture.
I think it's partly expected.
Yeah, that's why the Iranians never could have done 9/11, because they would have been late.
For goodness sake. So please tell us a bit about VIBA.
VIBA is British Iranian Business Association. The whole idea was to empower British Iranians and promote British Iranian businessmen and women in United Kingdom. Generally, we felt 15 years ago that the British Iranian community was facing three major crises. First was crisis of application. How most of Iranian community are extremely well educated, but it's hard to apply that education to actual working life. So we had this crisis of application, how to apply our education to life and improve ourselves to improve our efficiency. So this was the first crisis. The second was crisis of identity. Who are we? Are we Iranians? Are we British? Who are we? And thirdly, the crisis of integration. How are we going to integrate into the host nation? So we thought we could address all these issues, and we've been quite successful in the last 15 years in addressing all these issues, simply by taking people who've been successful and asking them how they've become successful in United Kingdom. And mainly it comes to people who have managed to address these issues, these crises. They've managed to put their education to very good applications and improve in life, so their financial position has improved vastly. Also, they have no problem with their identity. They have no problem being British and being Iranian, or altogether being British-Iranian. These people think that there are more to them than just being one nationality or one culture. They can be two, three, or four cultures.
Yeah.
And thirdly, I beg your pardon, it's the integration. There is no problem with integrating with people, being friendly with everybody, and just thinking one culture is holier than the others, but they're all equal and they all have their faults and goodness. So these people, and we put these people as role models in form of business meetings, and success attracts. So a lot of people come to our meetings, and that's why we've got a good audience.
Do you get British people, non-Iranian people coming to the meeting?
We run an open society, so anyone could join. I have to say we are not getting as many English or British as coming, although the association has been picked up by a number of organizations as a role model for integration. But we don't get that many English coming to our meetings unless they're invited as speakers.
Would you like more?
I like a lot more,
yeah.
Because it's
more
about integration. I think there's this reluctance of when you think somebody who is not English or of Anglo-Saxon origin, but behaving very Anglo-Saxon or very English.
I'm not sure.
No,
but we're really interested. I mean, some of the these business meetings that you're having touch on really interesting subjects, and also in your newsletter you had a whole section on Calvinism. I mean, who's writing that newsletter?
Oh, there's a group of us who write this. We just wanted to know what is the success of British society, the Anglo-Saxon, what makes them different from others. And the root of it comes, we discovered, it comes through Calvinism, where it concentrates mainly on being extremely efficient, no wastage in time. Also this idea of commonwealth, that we all become prosperous not for self-glorification, mm-hmm. but we become prosperous so others could become prosperous by help, not by actually charitable way of giving them money, but actually encouraging them mm-hmm. to become self-sufficient. And this has been going on for the last 500 years, and we looked across the countries who've picked up this sect of Christianity. And we are not looking at the religious side of it, but on the
business.
Well, the social values.
Yeah, I know. That's so interesting, because it's a kind of a way of defining the culture and the success of the culture, which we probably, English people, haven't put on themselves. So you've furthered their knowledge of themselves somehow by pointing this out. I mean, it's not something you hear about often, the British Calvinist form of business.
It's because the native British, they take what they have for granted. Mm. The new arrivals, we, in order to become successful and more integrated, you actually start studying the society scientifically. So we actually looked at the British society. I look at it, British society, scientifically. I look at the statistics, people dynamics, movement, crowd dynamics, and see how the society is evolving. You know, I look at it very thoroughly, with research. I'll give you some statistics. Only 1 million people watch BBC Two, you know, the news night on BBC Two. Only 1 million out of the population. Now, you get on EastEnders or Coronation, you get 20 million people watching it. So then you understand that the very people who are very serious, only 1 million. So then you understand it. We are looking at less than 2% of the whole society who are extremely serious. So whether you are going to promote the idea, you can't be too serious. You have to have it a little bit kind of with the popular culture, because otherwise 98% will turn off. So I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just getting your message across. So otherwise, more people would be watching Newsnight on BBC Two, Jeremy Paxman, but only 1 million watch it. So these are, you look at the society, and it's a very great society, I think.
So what kind of people are you dealing with? Because I remember the first thing you told me on the telephone was about a British Iranian policeman's ball, and that just conjures so many amazing images of what it could have been like.
Well, you tell me why there isn't more police balls around.
I don't know, I probably wouldn't be invited, so...
No, why? I haven't heard of one. I mean, we thought, why there is not one British, one police ball?
To celebrate the police?
Yeah, why not? And we thought, we do it. And when we did this, the Met took it on very quickly, and they cooperated fully with us. And they were amazed, the people. We had guests such as Sir Ronnie Flanagan came to and gave his fabulous speech. Then we had Simon Marshall, head of Met Recruitment, talk about the difficulty they have recruiting from minorities. It was excellent, and they had full cooperation with us. So I don't know why this great society is dropping some of its traditions, one of its good things, and embracing. I have no problem with popular culture. I think it's fantastic. We need to be modernist, but at the same time, not at the expense of losing some of our more classic values. We could, because the word classic means tested. The word modern means untested. Now, if you have things which are tested, that are classic, they've passed the test of time, you keep them. Then you try new things which are modern, which are untested, and sometimes are unpleasant or they don't work. But doesn't mean that just because you want to be a modern person, you have to drop those classic values or classic issues. No, you keep them, you just add to them. So I find sometimes, at the expense of being modern, we dropped some classic behavior.
Definitely. And if your society can work towards instilling some classical values in people, I'm sure that would be really welcome. What other things have you been up to at Biba?
Well, we are very much a technology and commerce-driven association. So we get people coming from different aspects of life, which nowadays they are not considered celebrities. Like last year we had one of the top associates, actually the third person in charge of NASA, giving us a speech.
Oh, was that the commercialization of space?
Yes,
commercialization. Oh, yes.
Dr. Firuz Nadiri. Now, he's actually from Iran, and he was born from the same place that my wife was born. So they were very, with a few age gap between them. So it's interesting. Somebody from this Shiraz, from this city, suddenly is in a third person and maybe head of NASA and his General Mars project. But what we had him, because it is very important for us to know what are the new scientific discoveries, because he wasn't talking about Mars exploration, but actually getting there of it, the new technology. So we know what is in pipeline the next 20 years. Mm. And so how these new technologies can be applied to commerce. So it's important to have scientists on your as close associates, so you learn about the new issues or this are new things which are coming into use.
New business opportunities.
Yes.
What about arts? Do you see arts as a potential business? Do you promote them at all?
I think art is very, very important because art is the best form of popularizing new discoveries or new technology. Technology on its own can be very boring or new discoveries, but it's the artist who popularized this by giving it that sort of emotional thing about it, which some of the scientist people or people in commerce lack. So I think it's very important to work with artists closely.
But that's for technology. But what about art for art's sake?
Well, what is art for art's sake?
It's art that doesn't have to promote any technology in order to be important.
I have no problem with that, but if they want my money...
They have to be classic.
Well, they have to work with on things that they want me to do. But by all means, try that. And I actually go to a lot of art exhibitions or a lot of artists I meet because they are the modernists. They are trying things. That's why I have no problem with them because they are trying things. And I said maybe sometimes things they do seem unpleasant, but they are trying to push boundaries. And we have to test these things.
Well, recently we went to, well, not that recently, but a few months ago, we went to Parava, and then there was another exhibition where they'd brought about 30 Iranian artists over with about 140 pieces of work, and within a week they had sold 70 of them. So it seems like art is big business coming from Iran as well.
If you look at it as Iran, if these people can produce such fabulous carpets, and they've been doing it for the last 3,000 years. So they have it in their genes to be fantastic artists, not just on tapestries or carpet, but on drawings or even film productions. We have some very good Iranian film producers. So I think it's because it's variation in a different group of people coming becoming Iranians. It's very difficult to say who is an Iranian because it's so very, they vary. So the artists have this fabulous thing, they can be anything. They can go from one extreme to another.
So where would you like to see Biba going in the next year or two?
I like membership to increase from 2,400 to more people. At the moment, there is this reluctance, more people coming to our meetings because they think it's purely for very tough business people. No, we are for everyone. We are open society. I like to see people, especially from universities, coming there and seeing these people who've made it, how they can copy these people or use them as role models.
What is a very worthwhile cause? So how should people find out about Biba if you've got a website?
It's www.bibauk, is BIBAUK.com. Or our number is 0700 078 2221. So it's 0700 078 2221. They could contact us, and by all means, or they could email us at biba@london.com, biba@london.com. So we are here to help as many people, and we like to see a lot of non-Iranians also joining us.
Yeah, well, you've also had some TV success, haven't you?
We had 48 TV programs. They've been very successful. The reason is because people were not expecting Iranians to be in business or like the way we are, because you get only the TV, the news images. It's like very much Omid Jalili being a top comedian. Nobody would have thought Iranians have comedians or can be funny. And same thing about business community. Nobody thought there is this very strong British-Iranian business community in London. So, yes, the television programs have been very successful.
Good. Well, thanks for coming in today.
Pleasure.
We're coming to the end of the show. So, as I said, we are going to give away two tickets to South Bank Centre on Thursday night to hear Sohail Nasseri playing his pieces. The phone number here is 020-740-71210. You just have to ring up and give me a good question and you can have those tickets for free. We're going to go out with the UK premiere of the beginning of Khay Khosru Sorabji's Sonata No. 0, played by Sohail Nasseri.